Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome back. Welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Let's stand and start praise and worship together this morning. We praise the living God. Hallelujah. And just believe this morning that you can walk in total deliverance. Hallelujah. You can walk in total deliverance. Praise the Lord. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. We are who you say we are in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Go for it. I am who you say I am. I'll do what you say I can. You hold your word above all of your name. So I smile because I know it will never change. Glory to the one who has given me his son. He won't withhold anything else. My purpose is in you. My glory is in you. You are all I praise. Sing, I am. Oh, I am
who you say I am.
I'll do
what you say I can.
You hold your word.
You hold your word above all of your name. So I smile because I know it will never change.
Glory, glory
to the one who has given me his son. He won't
you.
my words, my praise is for you.
Oh yes,
for
my
you.
Breath,
my breath, my eyes, my hands, my pace, my silence, my praise is for you.
Oh yes,
for
my
you.
Breath,
my breath, my eyes, my hands, my pace, my silence, my praise is for you.
It all belongs to you. earth. Oh, power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth. Oh, power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. All belongs to you. In heaven and the earth. Oh, power belongs to you. Oh, power belongs to you. Power belongs to you.
Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth. Oh, power belongs to you.
Power belongs to you.
Power belongs to you. All belongs to you. In heaven and the earth. All power belongs to you.
What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have. You have done for me. Let's sing, Jesus, you are so good. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you are so good. Jesus, you are so what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me. One more time. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you are so good. Jesus, you are what no man, can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have what no man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that there is nothing impossible for you. Thank you, Lord, that your children walk in total deliverance. Thank you, Father God, that you pour out your spirit and you pour out your fire. Limitless God, have your way in this place. Limitless God, have your way in our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down. Your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Sing with me. Holy Spirit, rain down, oh comforter, oh. Lord. Oh yes, we sing. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit.
Sing it one more time. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain.
Ask him to rain in your
down.
Life.
Spirit of the living God, reign in our hearts. Transform our hearts from darkness to light. Lord, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, reign in every heart that sang this song this morning. Everyone hearing the sound of my voice. Spirit of the living God, begin to move upon every heart, and we declare and decree, let there be light, and let the glory of God shine upon every life, that they will turn totally back to you, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. Let our worship and our thanksgiving, our praise unto you, be acceptable to you, O Lord. Be magnified and be glorified forevermore. Have your way in this service this morning and in every life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. I wish we could have gone a little bit deeper with that song, but we'll continue to worship in your heart before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all our children, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended family all over the world. We leave them before you, Almighty God. Touch them, touch their families. Touch every seed, everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, every decade of life, those in the womb, those walking the earth, we commit before you. The assignment you have placed in their spirit that they will fulfill, they will fulfill those in the name of Jesus. Cut off every roadblock from their lives. Lord, touch them, O God. Day and night, watch over all our families. We declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We say Jesus is Lord over every member of our families. From letter A to Z, they belong to you. They are your property. And we say the Lord reigns. Somebody say the Lord reigns over my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, week to week, day to day, year to year, victory upon victory, success upon success, good news upon good news, favor upon favor, and the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and add no sorrow. It is all our portion. In Jesus' mighty name we declare and decree it so. Amen. Spirit of the living God, we continue to welcome you into our lives. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our hearts, into our spirit, into the service, into our city, our nation, our homes. And Lord, everywhere we go, may the presence of the Lord never depart from our lives. And be in this service and do what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, quickly turn your Bible to Psalm 45. It's a short one. And you can read along with me. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. May your language and your speech be about things that pleases the Lord. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. May your tongue speak of the goodness of God. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. May the grace of God be poured into our lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Somebody say, I'm blessed forever. Say a big amen. Get that sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty write prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Say amen. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. May the arrows of the Lord deal with every enemy, visible and invisible, known and unknown, in the mighty name of Jesus. He said they shall fall under the presence of God. May God's arrow bring them down. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. May the rulership of God never depart from our families. May he reign forevermore. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Are there more people glad than other people in this house this morning? I don't know about that, because you don't look like it and you don't sound like it. Hallelujah. I read it one more time. Thy God had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I am above all my fellows. I got more gladness in my life. Somebody say, I'm glad. You know what gladness means? It means you are rejoicing, you are joyful. You know, you look at some people, they see you coming, they have like, what's that? How does pastor say it? He says, lemon and prune juice mixture. May lemon and prune juice mixture leave your countenance. When people see you, may they see pleasantness. Say amen. Say amen. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Say amen. Not only do you smell good, your garments smell good. Say amen. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon the right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. May the women in your family become honorable women. May they stand, hallelujah, as queens in gold Hallelujah. Some people say gold is sin, but God is saying stand as queen. Praise the Lord. Please read your Bible and not feebles. Say amen. 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is the Lord, and worship thou him. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Say amen. Have you seen a queen that walks funny, just goes like this? If that's how you are, change and be a queen. Say amen. Especially women, you are not a man, so be ladylike. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If he wanted you to be a man, he would have made you a man. He didn't make you a man, so he made you a woman. Be happy. Be glad. Say amen. And men, be glad. Don't be feminine. Be masculine. Say amen. Everybody be happy for who God made them. And let me hear the men's voice in this house this morning. Amen. Oh my goodness. Only one had the man's voice. The rest are still feminine. I give you a second opportunity. Let me hear the men's voice this morning. Yes, you should be proud of your voice. You are the first one to speak after God on earth. Shout hallelujah. God did not make a mistake. He chose you to say, and what you say it is. Begin to say great things for Glory and Peace Church. Begin to say great things for our city. Begin to say great things for our homes. Begin to say great things about your family. Let me hear a big amen again from everyone. Amen. So praise the Lord. He didn't choose the women to start that. He chose the men to do that. So rejoice in who you are. Praise the Lord. And the daughter, verse 12. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Say amen. Someone say, I receive this. That means you are so blessed that even the rich, they look for your favor. So there are things you will have that even the rich don't have. May you have the goodness of God, and may you have the Spirit of God. Somebody say hallelujah. You cannot buy it with money. It is something that comes direct from God. May God be your portion today. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. So you are not only beautiful outside, you're beautiful inside. Where the princes, not only the king's daughters, but the king's son, which is who you are. We are the children of the Most High God. Say amen. Verse 14, she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Her clothing are not casual. They are carefully done. May we be beautified by the living God. Say amen. Say amen. Some of you, you come to church with your farmer's clothes, but when you go to funeral, you wear your best clothes. I think you got that misplaced. Come before the King of Glory with your best. Say amen. If your best is a white shirt and a pant, wash it, iron it, and that is good enough. Say amen. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Somebody say, I'm here to be with the king. So you don't belong with ordinary people. You belong in the palace. May you, your family, your children, and your children's children belong to the best. We receive the best from the Lord. I don't think we believe some of these things. When we read them, they are just like stories. It's for somebody else. I say it's not for somebody else. It's for me. In the name of Jesus. That means if you live in a city, your house should really be in the choicest land. It should not be in a waterlogged land. It should not be where crazies live. It should be in the best. So can we begin to believe God for what he says? We have been too casual about many things. It's not too late to begin to declare and decree the things of God over our lives and over all our seeds, so that their generation will even rise faster than we did. Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if anybody's qualified to see the prime minister, it will be your children. It will be you. Amen. Amen. Some nations are not governed by kings. They are governed by presidents, prime ministers. So you shall enter those places. You don't come and they stop you. They are happy to see you. Say amen. Somebody say we receive this. You know, when there's greatness in your life and in your family, they call for you to come. May you be called to come and minister. Say amen. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. So we can make them. They were not. They become. We make them. May God make them. Make our sons princes in all the earth. Say amen. 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. May your name not be remembered for evil, but for good things. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. May people praise the Lord when they hear about your name and your family, and be thankful unto the living God. Hallelujah. We receive this word of the Lord into our lives, our families, our church, our city, our nation, and our extended families. We give you praise. We give you praise. Why are you still sitting down? You want me to tell you to stand all the time? You didn't come to be entertained. You should stand, except if something is wrong with your legs, then sit. But if you can stand, just stand before the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's begin to practice strength and not weakness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that we are a strong, vibrant church. We are people going somewhere. We are people who know our God and who will do great things. Great God Almighty, we stand before you this morning. We don't stand before ordinary men. We stand before the King of Glory, maker of the universe, creator of all the worlds, the heavens, the earth, and all its contents. Oh, we bless your holy name, including our lives. You've given us life again. And with this life, we praise you. Can you say praise the Lord? We thank you that with our breath, we will bless your holy name. We will praise you and we will appreciate you. We are thankful that our mouth moves. There are people this morning with locked jaws. All they want to do is speak, but they can't. But Lord, you've given us mouth to speak. So we bless your holy name. Can you use that, your mouth, and bless his holy name? Father, we bless you. Bless you. Most holy and righteous Father, we bless your holy name. You are a good Father. You are a good God. You are our Father and our God. You are our Redeemer. You are the lifter of our head, the glory and the lifter of our head. You are the joy giver. You are the one that gives gladness. You are the one that gives purposes. You are the ones that give plans. And you are the one that sets us on a mission in our lives. Father, we continue to give you praise. You are our light and you are our salvation. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are our hope that is against all hope. And you are our victory and our song. We bless your holy name. Be magnified in our lives. Be greater than you were one moment ago in our lives. Let our lives show forth your praise, show forth your goodness. That God, you have been good and you have been faithful. Thank you for blessing our lives and our generations forever. We bless your holy name. Father, we thank you that those that are sick among us, they are strong, they are healthy, they are healed, they are restored, and they are made whole. Those that are poor, you are setting them free now. You are providing every need that they have according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Only you can do what no man can do. The answer and the solution comes from you. The success and the victory comes from you. And Lord, that is what we hold on to. Not to man, but to you, Lord. You are the answer. We receive testimonies all week long that God, you have been good to us. We pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace and prosperity to her palaces. Lord, we thank you, God, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is watching over Israel. You are the glory and the lifter of Israel's head. Every attack of the enemy shall come to an end. Father, you are the answer and the solution. Save your people. You did say these things will happen, and they are happening, but the victory comes from you. May they call upon Messiah. Messiah, visit your people. Yeshua, visit your people. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself, O God. The defender of Israel is our God. Defend your people. May your glory defend them. In the name of Jesus, and give the leadership wisdom on what to do and how to do. Lord, only you. If every man fail, you never fail. May they turn to you at this hour. As the nations are turning against them, may they turn to the living God and call upon your name. And your word says, all Israel shall be saved. So let it be in the name of Jesus as a testimony to the rest of the world to turn back to you, to know that you reign, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you are doing. We speak peace over the nations. Speak peace over all nations. For out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So we receive that blessing also for our nation, Canada, Nigeria, United States of America. We receive it for Spain. We receive it for Bolivia. We receive it for Portugal in the name of Jesus. And every nation we are praying for all week. Our First Nations, islands of the sea, touch every one of them. We say reign supremely over and let the people turn back to you and call upon the name of God and save the nations like you saved Nineveh. In Jesus' mighty name, be in the service. Let your word come with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, prosperity, wealth, riches, and good news in every area and testimonies. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, and every need met at Glory and Peace Church and the families and those hearing the sound of my voice. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, God bless you, Apostle.
I bless you all in the name that is above every other name. Amen. The God we serve is an awesome God. If you don't understand him, you will think he is slow. Well, he's slow to anger. I thank God for that. The Bible tells us that man sinned and fell short of the glory of God. The glory of God is all that God is. All of his attributes, all of his power, his capacity, which is limitless, that's the glory of God. And if the capacity and the ability of God is limitless, and that's what we fell short of, then when the glory of God was reinstated, God removed the limits off of our lives. Would you agree with that? Now, I don't want us to think as natural men. Because when we think as natural men, we bring a limitation to everything that God has for us. We've got to think in line with what God says about himself. And when we are reminded of what God says about himself, and we understand that we are created in his image and in his likeness, then we must associate ourselves with that unlimited capacity and ability that's in God. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that men were united, they were in agreement, but in a wrong way, and they wanted to build a tower all the way up into the heavens. And God looked at them and said, because they are united, there is nothing they cannot do. They will be able to accomplish it. There's no limit to their capacity when they are in unity. Did you hear that? Who said that? God said that. So if you were the devil, what would you want to do? Make men come together in unity? No. You want to keep them scattered. Well, God did the first scattering because their intention was evil. And they were going to accomplish evil with a mindset that was generated from their evil thinking. So God scattered them. And languages were scattered. The people did not understand each other, and because they did not understand each other, they were not united. They started fighting against each other, and so different groups left to different areas. Now, today is the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, God started speaking again through his people. But this time, while they were together in one place, in the upper room, not a tower, but the upper room was still high up there, they started speaking, and while they spoke, those that were scattered all over the place that were brought to Jerusalem heard them and understood them in their own language. Somebody shout hallelujah. They understood them. And what were they talking about? They were talking about the glories of God, the splendor of God, the awesomeness of God in their language. God was bringing together the languages again. in the place where unity was. For the Bible says they were in one place, in one accord, when they started speaking. My prayer today is that God will bring us all together, that we will speak one language, the language of the Lordship of the Most High God, and that people everywhere will understand what we're talking about and respond to the goodness of God, the glory of God, the God that knows no limits. Somebody shout hallelujah. I had a very interesting experience the other day. I was doing a television broadcast to 182 nations. And I had in my mind what I felt the Lord wanted me to talk about. And as I came and I sat, or was coming to sit down, the Lord gave me a different passage of scripture. So I went to the passage of scripture that He was pointing me to, and I read it. It was an excellent passage of scripture. But the problem was, as good as it was, I wasn't certain what the Lord was trying to say. I was flabbergasted. I'm on television. I am going to be the very first speaker. It's not like there were three speakers. Normally, I get the third spot and I finish. But this time, I am number one. The program is on. And I read the Word of God. And it is a passage of Scripture where God is saying in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23, God says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Now my confusion was in the 22nd verse, where it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." That's a good thing. To know good and evil. And I was thrown. How am I going to preach this? I'm clueless about this. I've read the Bible so many times. I said, "Lord, you got to help me. I'm on television right now, and I have to have something to say to the people. You brought me here, you got to take me out of this one. What is this about good and evil? I know I've read it many times, okay, and I read past it, and I didn't want to bother with it. What is this that you're talking about? They've become like us, knowing good and evil. What are you talking about?" And the Lord began to open it up to me. After the meeting, after presenting the Word of God so clearly, and I'm going to get to it in a few minutes, I said to the Lord, why did you do that to me? He said, I taught you that before. I said, when? He said, remember that 1 month that I took you to the Bible school? And for some of you, you don't know this story, so I will tell you this story. When I got saved, I preached a lot about the end times. And one day the Lord told me, he said, I don't want you preaching anymore. I said, what do you want? What do you mean, don't preach? I don't want you preaching anything about the end times. I said, why? He said, because you don't know what you're talking about. I said, I call in all these American preachers and prophecy teachers. I said, but this person is saying the same thing. He said, they don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. So I don't want you saying anything. So for about a week, I didn't say anything about end times. But I couldn't help myself. That's all I knew. In the 70s, that's what everybody preached. End times, end times. Jesus is coming, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I had one of my pastor friends, he said, Jesus, don't come until I get married. So I kept doing what I used to do it. One day, I'm leaving my dorm and I'm going to the classroom to study, and I hear the voice of the Lord, and he says to me, go back to your dorm. I want to speak to you, and you better not take another step. I said, what's going to happen to me if I take another step? So I took my leg and I lifted it, and pow! I'm stricken. I am sick. I am so sick. I struggled to get back to my dorm, got on the bed, and I hear the voice of the Lord again. The Holy Spirit says to me, are you doing, Mike? And I screamed, what do you think? I'm so upset. But I got myself into that, and there's in front of me a blackboard, and God began to teach me the Bible. He said, teaching me. When it's time for me to go to class, I'm perfectly okay. As soon as class was over, back to the bed. When it's time to go eat, I'm perfectly okay. When I take the last bite, back for a whole month. It was like that. But God was downloading. And he said to me, he said, you've not even gotten close to all that I deposited inside of you. So basically, all of my life since that time, I am pulling from the resources. But this time when I came to that passage, I am overwhelmed. I said, what is this? What is this? And the Lord said, when I said they have now become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he said, I first experienced that evil. I said, what was this evil? He said, it was the evil of disappointment. I said, what? He said, I created Lucifer. I put into him everything. I blessed him. But Lucifer disappointed me. He turned a third of the angels against me. He brought sin into the world. And when man fell. It meant now that they were going to experience disappointment. They were going to experience pain. And I didn't want them to experience that. I created them in my image and my likeness not to experience that. But now, I had to take them out of the garden because I did not want this evil to be permanent in their lives. Are you with me? And I looked at that passage again as I'm preaching and teaching from this passage. And it dawned on me. All God really wants for me is good. All God wants for me and for you is good. He doesn't want anything evil. He hurts when we hurt. And He wants to take every pain away from you and from me. And on the day of Pentecost, He showed Himself strong on behalf of His people. These were His disciples. They were in much pain. The one that they loved is gone. Yes, He's risen from the dead. Yes, He's ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. Yes, all of that. But what comfort is that when you are afraid of the Romans, when you are afraid of the Jews, when you are afraid of life, when you are afraid because you've given yourself everything you've given to this one, and now you are here. And you don't know what to do. I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. When you look inside of you, all you see is defeat. When you look inside of you, all you see is disappointment. When you look inside of you, all you see is loss. When you look inside of you, all you see is 3.5 years going with this guy, and now he's gone, and you don't know what to do. You are floating in this ocean of life without a rudder, no control. But on that day, while they were gathered, 120 plus of them up in the upper room, all of a sudden there's a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind. And they're looking around, all of a sudden there appears on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it's sitting upon each of them. I want you to understand, they could see the cloven tongues on other people. They could not see it on themselves. Are you with me? When God begins to move in your life, most times you see it happening in other people's lives, not knowing that what they are having and what they are experiencing, you also are experiencing. We all hear the wind. We all hear all of that, all of the noise, all of the commotion, but we don't see what God is putting on each life. Today I want you to know that even though you don't see that God is empowering you, and you look at others and say, they've got the power, that God is saying, no, you're seeing what I've done for them, but I've done the same thing for you, because God is not a God of partiality. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has good on his mind for you and for me. If you can see it in other people, celebrate, because you've got the same thing. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing me. I said, if you can see the goodness of God in other people, you understand that you've got the goodness of God also upon your life. God distributes to everybody. Somebody shout hallelujah. He doesn't want you in pain. He doesn't want you defeated and weak. And so when the power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them, a Peter that was busy denying Jesus, swearing and cursing, stands up and begins to address the audience. A large audience, because the word of God tells us that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Because on the day of Pentecost was the real birthday of the church. That's the day the church was established. That prophetic statement that Jesus spoke over Peter when he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates and the government of hell shall not prevail over it. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It happened years before. But on this day, even when Jesus was not there, that word was being affirmed and confirmed. Somebody shout hallelujah. God's word will not fall to the ground. What God says about you shall come to pass. What God says about me shall come to pass. What God says about his church shall come to pass. The devil is a lying fool. Hallelujah. He cannot stop the move of God. And in this last of the last days, I want you to know that God is using ordinary people, because that's what he did. He used uneducated individuals to dumbfound the world. Because when the word of God comes out of the mouth of the anointed of God, it is like fire. Hallelujah. It burns everything that does not belong in the lives of the people that hear you. You have been authorized by the living God to speak his word. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, I don't know much. You don't need to know much. When the Lord God, who is the Word, how many of you believe Jesus is the Word? How many of you believe that if he comes into your heart, then he, the Word, is in your heart? And the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Then I tell you this, that as a child of God, when you speak, the wisdom of God is going to come forth. The power of God is going to come forth. The transformative anointings of God will shatter the strongholds of the enemy, and demons will flee in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus lives inside of you. Hallelujah. How does this happen? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter has been preaching the word, and the people are making a request and saying, how are we going to get this stuff? Are we going to experience this then that you are sharing with us? Bible says, then Peter said unto them, first thing, repent. Hallelujah. First thing you need to do is what? Repent. Repent, and secondly, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible tells us very clearly there that for us to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, this gift of the Holy Ghost, we need to repent. Praise the Lord. What does repentance mean for us? Repentance means a turnaround. Repentance means, you know about the penthouse, right? That's the top of the building. To repent means to go back to the top. Hello? Go back to God thinking. Thinking the way God thinks. In the book of Isaiah, it says, it's not that my hands are short to save, nor is it because I'm blind or deaf to see or to hear you. It says, it is your sin that has separated you from me. So I need you to begin to think my thoughts, because my thoughts are not like your thoughts. And when we repent, we are changing from the place of disunity, trying to do our own thing, to come into a place where we are surrendered to God to do what God wants us to do. That's why he said, I want you to go tarry in the upper room. Go stay in that upper room. Stay in that high level place and begin to think different thoughts. You may be seated here today and you are busy while I'm talking right now. You may be cutting yourself down and thinking about how terrible you are, all the mistakes you've made in your life. Sure, you've made all those mistakes. Sure, all of those things are just a whole bunch of mess. But God is not looking at your mess. He's looking at the message that he's going to bring about in your life and through your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Peter, you've denied me. Do you love me? Yes. I love you. Jesus' statement to Peter was, Peter, do you agape me? Do you just love me, period? Peter says, I like you. Okay? Feed my sheep. Peter, he asked him again, do you love me? Yeah, I like you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you like me? You know I like you. Just feed my lambs. Why did he do that? Peter denied him 3 times. And for every denial, he was reversing it. He didn't get him all the way to agape. He got him as far as he could get him, but he was going to accept that for now. And I say the same thing to you. Whatever it is that you can bring to him right now, he's going to take that. I remember the day I got saved, July 24th, 1974. pastor was sitting across from me, exposing me, telling me about all my sinful things that I did somewhere 200-300 miles away. How he knew about it, I don't know, but he was mentioning days and times. And I was getting really, really, really upset. I want to punch this pastor in the face. Excuse me, but I'm telling you how it was. Then he said, "You're my junior brother, why are you acting like this?" Now that got me into a different level of anger. Because I'm the oldest son in my family, and how dare he call me his junior brother? And I'm looking at the door, and how I'm going to hit him real hard and take off. But before I was able to do that, he said, "I said you're my junior brother because your father is a Christian and I am a Christian. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back and we are going to be taken, but you're going to be left behind." Now, in the midst of all of my anger, I loved my father. I didn't want Jesus coming to take my father and I'd be left behind. So the reason I gave my life to the Lord was because of my father. I didn't want... Would you believe that the Father, God, accepted that as my repentance? He said, let's take it now. So he grabbed me and took me from my state of defeat. And it was like brick loads, ton loads of bricks fell off of me. I felt lighter. I was still upset with him, but that day I got saved. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying God will take you just the way you are. You don't need to get cleaned up to come to God. He will clean you up, because as much as you want to clean up, you can't clean yourself up good enough. All of your righteousness is as filthy rags before the Most High God. You've got to come to Him, repent, and say, "God, I agree, I am a sinner, and Lord, I cry out to you today, forgive me my sins. I identify with who you are, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, and the very fact that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. I agree with you. Father, do a new thing in my life," and God will meet you right where you are and turn your life around in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastor, I'm already a Christian. Why are you preaching salvation message to me?" Oh yeah. If you think that much, then this is just a refresher for you. But it's not just about you. There are people who go to church and are not saved. They're not saved. There are pastors behind pulpits that are not saved. You can be in church and not be saved. If Jesus were to come today, you will not make it. And I'm certain of what I'm talking about. I was talking to somebody just the other day. And they were talking about righteousness. Righteousness is a gift of God. And because it's a gift that God has given to you, you can do whatever it is you want to do. You can sin all you want because grace is there. And they were asked. So the people that are doing all the wrong things, when they get exposed, why? What happened there? They said they're exposed because they fell out of grace. He said, "Grace hides your sin." That's coming from our pulpits. Do you understand? You can live any which way you want. It's okay. It's a lie from the depths of hell. Those are doctrines of demons. God wants a changed life. But the ability to change, you don't have. He has. Amen? He has it. And when you allow him to come in by the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers you to live differently. That's why when the Holy Ghost came upon those apostles and those disciples up there in the upper room, the man Peter, who was busy denying Jesus, is now bold to preach boldly the gospel. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the word of God, the salvation of God, the deliverance of God comes to us when we repent. Once again, Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and verse 38. He said unto them, Peter said unto them, repent. Somebody say repent. Say it again, repent. God calls you and I to repentance. Repentance is a good thing. Repentance is not just what you do when you're a sinner and you repent, and now that you've repented, you never repent anymore. No, repentance is a continuous thing. Repentance is something that you continue to do as God shows you new areas in your life where you need to change. Because repentance is about change. Amen? Say, I need to change that. Because God is going to poke at your heart. He's going to tell you. When your heart is so hardened that God cannot speak to you, you are in serious trouble. Hello? How many of you remember me preaching about true worship? Remember that message? And I talked to you about the danger of false worship. And I used the example of Saul the king. God had instructed him to do certain things, and he did everything contrary to what God told him to do, and held on to the fact that he did what God said. Until he was told he was going to lose his throne. Then he said, I repent. I repent. But the repentance was not a true repentance. It wasn't true. He was stripped of his ability or of his position as king. David is anointed as king, but the remarkable thing is that while he had been removed from the throne as king by God for 20 years, someone say 20 years, he was still sitting on that throne. That's the most dangerous state to be in. That you are in sin and thinking that you're still okay. He'd lost it. And he was busy harassing and pursuing the one that was the true king. The real true king is busy running all over the place trying to escape from him. Because he was a powerhouse. And so many times we are connected to people and to whatever it seems like this is the powerhouse, but the glory of God is no longer there. It's no longer there. It is on this little kid over here whose heart is panting after God. Is your heart panting after God? As the deer panted after the water, so my soul panted after thee. On the day of Pentecost, that quenching came. That thing that they were desiring, that thing that they saw in Jesus Christ, that was always with him, that they wanted, happened. Prior to that, it only happened now and then, and they were surprised that it happened. But this time, when the power of God came upon them, the boldness of God was there. They're walking, Peter is walking, and his shadow is busy healing people. They're bringing people from everywhere. Same Peter who denied Jesus, yes, the same Peter, that one that Jesus reinstated and now empowered. God is reinstating sons and daughters today, and he's empowering you. I tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, your life is being changed this very moment, and you and I are going to do extraordinary things to the glory of God, not because of us, but because of his awesomeness. Somebody shout hallelujah. God using people to do extraordinary things. That is our story. So we see that the Holy Spirit is available in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. The Bible tells us that God gives his Holy Spirit to them that obey him. It says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Those that obey him get this empowerment. Doesn't come to everybody. It comes to those that obey him. Just like he took those men, Adam and Eve, out of the garden so that they do not eat of the tree of life, so also God keeps the Holy Spirit away from people who will not walk in obedience. Because where if the Holy Spirit empowers your disobedience, how great will that disobedience be? Are we together? The Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. So it's not arbitrary. You've got to ask. You've got to be a person of obedience. And you've got to ask. So the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, if you've then been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise God. Hallelujah. He gives his Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Well, like the next verse, it says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Guess what happened on the day of Pentecost? The people wondered, and the disciples who had been shut up began to speak. I declare that every devilish spirit operating in the body of Christ, every spirit that causes us to be dumb and causes us not to speak boldly, that spirit be shattered now. Let it be cast out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, so that we can speak. Let the devil get off the church in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Because there's a dumb spirit operating in amongst the people of God. The dumb spirit of fear, We cannot testify. We cannot witness. But the word of God says, you shall be witnesses unto me. So many believers have lived their lives and never told a soul about who Jesus is. That's a dumb spirit. Let it be cast off. Hallelujah. 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 When the Spirit of God came upon them, their mouths were filled and God gave them utterance. Praise God. We can ask for this Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse 39 that the Holy Spirit is given to those that believe. John 7 and verse 39. So first, those who are obedient. Secondly, it says to us, those who ask. And now it says to us, those who believe. In talking about the Holy Spirit and the wellspring of the spring of water coming out of their bellies, he says, but this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. Should receive. Those that believe in, on him should receive. Why should? Because you need to ask. Why should? Because you need to be obedient. The Bible tells us that the devil believes in God and trembles. Yeah? So believing is not enough. You have to be obedient to the word of God. The devil is rebellious. So the word of God says, resist that rebellious spirit, and that spirit will flee from you. Amen? Hallelujah. Why do we receive the Holy Spirit? Because we believe. Believe in whom? The one that is glorified. Remember, we started about being short of the glory of God? And that the glory of God is this capacity where God, in the fullness of all that he is, has no limits. Hallelujah. And that God is bringing us to that place where the limits are removed. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world. God enlarging our voice. Hallelujah. God taking ordinary people and bringing about extraordinary results. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? It empowers us to be witnesses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. It says to us that you and I are going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. When do we receive power? After. So if you want power, you got to have the presence of the Holy Ghost. Power without the Holy Ghost is an evil spirit. Hallelujah. But what power? Power to be witnesses. Fake witnesses? No. True witnesses. True worshipers. Hallelujah. People who believe something and stand for something, not wishy-washy. We are not flags that are being tossed and blown by the wind, this way and that way. We are not thermometers that read the temperature of society and base our approach to society based on what is acceptable by society. No, we are thermostats. We regulate the temperature. We say what the truth is and 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 not change. The truth of God does not change based on what decade or what generation you are in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that's what's happening in our churches. Churches that have not continued in the truth. The Word of God says in John chapter 8, He says, He speaks to certain disciples that believed. Jesus is Lord. He says to them, if you continue in my word, then you're going to know the truth. And the truth that you know becomes the truth that does what? Sets you free. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. They believed on him. You believe in me. That's great. But just believing on me does not make the difference. You've got to continue in my word. You've got to continue obeying my word. And when you do so, you then are going to be my disciples indeed. For a fact. You're going to be my disciples indeed. For real. Aletos. Indeed. Until you continue in my word, you are not truly my disciple. Most of us measure our Christianity based on what is acceptable to the world. God says, be ye holy because I am holy. I want you to be as holy as I am. We don't like hearing stuff like that. Am I going to be as holy as he is? When he's the one who's living in me and I'm not the one living. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by how? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My Christian walk is not based on what is acceptable to you. It's based on what is acceptable to him. God's standard is the standard of measurement. And you cannot leave that standard of measurement without him taking you into that secret place. So stop trying in your own strength, because you will not make it. Go limp on him. Let him carry you. Hallelujah. Let him do what? Carry you. That really is what grace is. Let me explain it to you this way. You have a car, and the kilometers that it's reading on the odometer is 0000000. That car is put on a flatbed truck. And that car drives, leaves Winnipeg, and goes all the way to Montreal. Let's just say that distance is 2,000 kilometers. Are you with me so far? When that car gets to Montreal from Winnipeg on that flatbed, what will be the reading in Montreal? 0000. But it's covered 2,000 kilometers. That's grace. Grace carries you all the way without you doing anything. Did you get that? That's the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that causes you, when you're speaking in tongues, to speak life into people, not based on your ability, but the ability of the one whose tongues you are speaking. To you, it's glossolalia, it's gibberish. But to God, it is power. That's why, while I'm preaching the word of God, not knowing that somebody has a tumor for 15 years, not even praying, the tumor vanishes. It's just gone. I didn't do anything about it. I didn't touch the person. But while the word of God is being preached, life is being infused. Hallelujah. That's why we don't bury. I think we've actually, have I buried any church members yet? I buried one, Esmeralda Clark. We've had three people that have died that were part of this church. The other two I didn't bury because they were here, but not here. But the people that are here, while the word of God is being preached, God is sustaining you by the life of God. That's 40-something years of ministry, 47 years of ministry. You don't come here to die. Hallelujah. No. Will somebody die someday? Of course. I had somebody who flatlined 7 times. 7 times. How do you flatline 7 times and come back alive every time? Remember, the pastor said, you're not going anywhere. You're going to live. Until I hear from God that it's time for you to go, you're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember one of our church members, no longer here. You know the Plamondons. The mother was at Seven Oaks. They just left her to die. She's gone totally pale on her death spot. And they call me and I come there and I see all these wires in the realm of the spirit, all jungled up every which way. And the Lord says, it's all messed up. Just say all systems go. So I said, all systems go. And as I am standing looking at you right now, blood starts flowing, her color starts changing. All the way. You can just see it. All the way. Back to life. Because God is that kind of a God. He is going to empower the words that you speak. Because it's not just for her and not for her, but for her and her and her and the hers and the he's and the he's. There's so many hers in here and very, very few he's. We need to change that. We've got to get the he's in the house. Amen? Hallelujah. But that's true almost everywhere. God wants to to empower us. We're empowered to worship. John 4:23, as I begin to wrap. John 4:23. He says, the hour cometh and now is. The hour is coming and it shifts. That's purification. And now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to worship in spirit and in truth. If you continue in my word, you shall know the what? The truth. And the truth that you know shall what? Set you free. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers you to worship, but also brings you into that place where you continue in the word and truth, because he gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. Are we together? Amen. The Holy Spirit empowers us to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, tell us about that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic gifts. Or you might call it the gifts of grace. Someone say the gifts of grace. Charis is grace. Amen? So these are, and if you understand that grace is that enablement, that empowerment that causes you to do what you cannot do in yourself, then you understand that the gifts of God will bring you to that place where you produce what you cannot produce in your own ability. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just gifts so that you can be known. And that's what people think gifts are. Lord, give me the gift of prophecy so that people know me. I want the gift of prophecy so I can start my church. Lying devils. That's not the purpose. It is meant to bring hope and restore to lives. Amen? So the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. In essence, God will give to every one of us particular giftings. And we need to exercise those gifts that God has given to us. And that's how we become a wholesome body. Praise God. Finally, let me say, the Holy Spirit empowers us for purpose. In Luke chapter 61 and verse 1, Luke 61 and verse 1, Luke 61 and verse 1, the Word of God says, the Spirit of God is upon me, and that Spirit of God that's activated, somebody sleeping over there, Acts 61 and verse 1. I was quoting Luke. Well, Luke chapter 4, just forget that, my time is going. Luke 4 and verse 18 is quoting Acts, or rather Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Notice, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel. So that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit helps us to preach the gospel. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen? So the Spirit there is there to help us preach the gospel. So if you are not preaching the gospel, may I ask this question? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Because if the Spirit, the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help you preach the gospel, then that's what the manifestation should be. Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to whom? To the poor. Why? So that the poor can be comfortable in their poverty, right? No? So they can... Yeah, I guess that I will always be poor. Thank you, Jesus. Is that it? No. So break that stronghold. No matter where you are in the world, that poverty is no longer part of your life. Amen? The gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those that have been disappointed in relationships or whatever, to bring healing to their brokenheartedness, to preach deliverance to those that have been held captives, even those that are lawfully captive. Because there are some that are lawfully captured. They've sold their life to the devil. They've been dabbling with all kinds of crazy stuff. And they are lawful captives of the devil. The devil has a right to their lives. But God's power comes and breaks those strongholds and says, no, they no longer belong to you. They now belong to me. Hallelujah. God's deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. What is that statement all about? Set at liberty them that are bruised. The bruising is a bruising of what sin does. The bruising is the bruising of what iniquities do, the patterns that are set. Just like you go to the doctor and the doctor starts asking you for the history of your family. Has anybody in your family had cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure? What they're trying to find out is the bruising in your life, the iniquity in your life. God comes and says, I'm putting an end to that. Amen? And let us close with Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? With power. You shall receive power after. Yes? So it's same true with Jesus. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and also what with? Power. And what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. So to surmise it all, what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is God with you. Did you get that? God with you. Do you know that God is with you? Then you have the Holy Spirit. And if he's with you, then you've got power. Because you've got power not only around you, you've got power in you. Praise the Lord. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. I thank God for the privilege and honor accorded me to share the word of God with you this Pentecost Sunday. May the power of God be released and be revealed in you and through you, in you and your family, your children and your children's children. May the glory of God surround you, be in your home, and everywhere you go, may you, as a glory carrier, a God carrier, take God everywhere you go, because God is taking you everywhere he goes. Oh, I don't know if you heard that. Take God everywhere you go, because God is taking you everywhere he goes. And guess where he goes? He's everywhere. Amen. He's everywhere. So it doesn't matter whether they drop you in Timbuktu, power is there. You will make it. You will never falter. You will do extraordinary things and live a glorious life without limits, without barriers, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And as you sow on this Pentecost, I want you to know that Pentecost stands for Jubilee 50. Amen. It's called the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks. 7 is the number of completion. And God is saying, I am completing you, completing you, completing you, complete. Say, I'm completed. So the next one is a one of new beginnings. Hallelujah. May God grant to you new beginnings. Hallelujah. And because Jubilee is, Mama, you can start coming. Because Jubilee, keep on coming, give your tithes and your offering. Because Jubilee is about being delivered from indebtedness, may you be free from all debt. Because Jubilee is a Jubilee that causes your land to rest so that you can be refreshed, may you receive refreshing from above. Hallelujah. Because Jubilee is a time where slaves are delivered, may you be delivered from every form of enslavement, every bondage, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Because Pentecost is a time of supernatural change, may you experience supernatural change to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give a Jubilee offering. The Pentecost offering, and may the Lord greatly bless. This is the body of our Lord. It is the body that decrees our deliverance, our peace, and establishes us in righteousness and in truth. May the ability of God be deeply infused into every aspect of our person. That just like the resurrected Lord had no limits, no barriers, walked through walls as if they were not there. There was no distance. He showed up wherever it is he wanted to show up. May that grace of the Lord come upon us. Amen. As we remember the Lord. Amen. Take and eat in Jesus' name.
This is the cup of blessing. May the blood of Jesus cover every household.
Amen.
Cover you, cover your life,
cover your health, cover your property, cover your mind, cover your spirit.
Amen.
May the blood speak great things for you.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus speak greater things.
Amen.
And better things than that of Abel.
Amen.
May he speak defense for you.
Amen.
May he speak safety for you.
Yes, Father.
May he speak health for you.
Hallelujah.
May he speak wealth for you.
Amen.
May he speak peace for you.
Amen.
May he speak joy for you.
Amen.
And every good thing that he has paid for.
Hallelujah.
Take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's make it fun out. Father, your word says that you will pour out of your spirit into us. With lifted hands in worship and adoration, we say, pour out of your spirit into us.
Amen.
And fully equip us to do everything you've called us to do, whether it be spiritual or natural. We receive your capacity. And we thank you, Father, that having been blessed, we are a blessing. I pronounce the blessings of God over you, and I call you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
May God grant you supernatural speed.
Amen.
And may he reveal himself to you in ways that you never imagined. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done.
Amen.
And all of God's put together in agreement said,
yes.
They said,
yes.
They said, yes. They said,
yes.
They said,
yes.
They said,
yes.
They said,
yes.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you richly. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And let me say to those that are on YouTube and Facebook, we look forward to seeing you tonight for another time together. But right now we are going to say hello to those